Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. I stood in the last one. I thought I'd sit down for this one. Is that all right? Oh, this is heavy, this thing. Rightio. You doing good? I can't see my glasses on. They're really dirty. Anyway, that's the stupid thing that I can't see my glasses on. That's what they're supposed to help you to do, aren't they? Brilliant. Rightio. I love Jesus, don't you?
Yes.
And I love it when we worship and God overwhelms you. And you just fill up. You're kind of overwhelmed with Him. And then words can't describe what you really want to express to Him. And that worship song, the one we sang, glory, glory to the Lord, that one, I can't sing. I won't do songs like last week, okay? Sorry about that. But it's a real anointing on that. And, you know, just when you just worship and, I don't know, you just get consumed with who Jesus is. I mean, that's why we meet together, isn't it? Or one of the reasons, so that we get consumed with who He is. That we don't just sing a bunch of songs and have a bit of a clap, but actually we get overwhelmed with Him. You just get consumed with Him, and it's like you just want to worship Him. You want to know Him. So I don't know about you, but I just, this morning, both in the first meeting and this one, just a bit overwhelmed, you know, with who Jesus is. And it's amazing because that really fits with what I believe God wants to say this morning to us. So if you want to grab your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to have a look in there. Last weekend was a really significant weekend, and I personally found it really encouraging. A lot of confirmation over the weekend with Andy Elms and the things that he was sharing and speaking about last week. All of the messages are available, as we've already said. Did we say that in highlights?
I didn't.
You didn't. Okay. We got a slate somewhere, haven't we, for that one? Great. Thanks, mate. Now, if you look at the www.kingdomfaith.com/Andy Elms, if you've got access to the internet, you can type that in and you'll be able to access all four messages from last week. The two Saturday morning sessions with the leaders, everybody can listen to those. The Saturday night one and the Sunday morning message, you'll be able to download those and have a listen. If you don't have internet access, then let InfoPoint know today and we'll do you a CD with all four messages on them. If you do have internet access, we'd appreciate if you just kind of did that with it rather than just loads of CDs. But if you don't have that, then we'll do you a CD so you can listen to all of those. What we're going to flow on with this morning is really flows in with what he was speaking about Saturday night, which was really about Christ being the head and we are the body. And then Sunday morning, amazing message, wasn't it, last week, where it was an all singing and dancing kind of let rip message but I don't know what he called it, but it was don't get off the bus because you're about to step into your Jubilee. The next stop is your Jubilee or your abundance or your inheritance or whatever. It's fulfillment of things God's been saying personally and corporately. So I found that a tremendously encouraging message that was, just stick to what God said. Just keep moving forward, because sometimes it feels like you're going through fire and things are just like, what is going on and why is this happening? Other times you feel like you're going through water or storms, as he put it, but you know there's going to be a breakthrough. And just to keep going, keep pressing on. Don't get off. Don't dip out. Don't shrink back. But there's something's about to take place in your life. So that just continue on. Keep moving forward. Keep breaking through. And you know, one of the things that he spoke to me about outside of the meetings was something that they've done as well in terms of over the years, going to two services, creating space. It brings a different feel a little bit into the life of the church. And for some, it can be a bit unstable in. And at the same time, he said, you know, you've got to do things in response to what God is saying. You've got to make space for God to fill. And that puts an emphasis on all of us to respond to what God is saying, that we don't carry on the same in the same way. But actually, when something's new, when something's different, it feels different, looks different. But we need to respond to that in terms of what God is saying. But I just want to flow on with really what he was speaking about last week, and particularly Saturday night. And we're going through a whole theme at the moment. Jesus is, and then question mark, whatever we're going to look at that week. And this morning, just believe it's right to look at Jesus is the builder. So if we look at that for a moment, Jesus is the builder of the church. We are the workmen. And we're going to unpack a few scriptures and look at a few things. But Jesus is the builder. Now, there's two building companies on the earth, okay, spiritual ones. One is called God's Kingdom Building Company. The other one is called the Devil's Demolition Services. And there's two companies at work. There's two kingdoms at work. And they're going like this. They're clashing. The great thing is we know that God has already won the victory. He has already overcome the enemy. And he has already established his kingdom on earth. And the amazing thing is we are part of that kingdom. And we can live in the good of it, the power of it, the victory of it. But we know that the enemy hasn't had his final blow yet. And one day that will come when God judges the living and the dead. And the devil is also going to be dealt with at that moment. But the devil on one level has a bit of a freedom to roam the earth and do this, that and the other. But yet at the same time, God has established his kingdom on earth through a people called the church. And God wants to the church, his church, the body of what he is the head, to be demonstrating what the kingdom looks like on earth. And so we have an amazing mandate. We have an amazing responsibility to be the body of Christ. That which he's the head of, we're the arms, the feet, the mouthpiece, the ears, the eyes, we're the lungs, we're the energy. We are God on earth. That's amazing when you think about that, isn't it? We are God on earth. That Jesus is not on earth in physical form like he was 2,000 years ago. He sent his Holy Spirit to be in us. And we are like little Christs on the earth representing his kingdom. What it looks like up there is supposed to look like down here. And that's where last Sunday morning's message comes in, because Andy said, sometimes you feel like you're going through the fire, but actually in the fire, that's where the freedom is. Remember the ropes that were around the three guys that were in the fire, and the ropes were burnt off and they found that they hadn't died. They weren't singed. Their clothes weren't burnt, but actually they were set free and they were dancing. They were liberated in the fire because it's a place of freedom. Then there was going through the waters and where they felt overwhelmed. But yet it's in the going through the waters where there's the place of breakthrough. And that's where the place of victory comes as well. And so God has called us to be a people who go through the fire. So we're a people of freedom. We go through stuff that can be overwhelming, but we're a people of breakthrough, because we know in heaven there's things that are established, things that are happening that God wants to establish and see happening on earth. So he needs a people who know how to live free and know how to break through, so that they can not dip out at a bus stop on the way, but they're waiting for that final or on the journey to that final stop that is Jubilee, inheritance and abundance, not just for them, but also for those that we're reaching out to, those that we're going to in our everyday lives. Amen. So we're part of this building company called God's Building Company, or God's Kingdom Building Company on earth. We're not part of the devil's demolishing services. The slogan for the enemy, for his company, is steal, kill and destroy. The devil hates every one of us in this room, whether you know him or whether you know God or whether you don't. The devil hates you. The devil is out to ruin your life, destroy your life. He's out to take you off course, to give you a different focus than the one that God has for you. But God's kingdom building company called the church has a different emphasis. It's a life-giving church. It's a life-giving company, if we can use that word this morning. It's full of hope, full of health, full of healing, full of victory, full of dynamic life that God has given. Anybody here today? Yeah. That's the kind of company, that's the kind of kingdom that we're part of. That's the kind of church that God has called us to be. And so God wants to express his kingdom life, what has already been released in heaven, what has already been taking place in heaven. He wants that to be taking place on earth. That's why sometimes we go through fire. That's why sometimes we go through the waters. Because there are things that need refining, but there are also things that need breaking through. And that's why we're here, to see God's kingdom life established, God's purposes released, and what he wants to do, not just in our own lives, but in the many, many people's lives that are out there. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. There's two scriptures we're going to look at, first of all, two verses, and then open it up a little bit. Because according to the revelation that you have of who Jesus is, will determine the way you think, it will determine the way you speak, it will determine the way you see yourself, it will determine the way you pray, it will determine the way you act, it will determine the way you believe. So whatever revelation of Jesus that you have affects the whole of your family, it affects your relationships, it affects how you are at work, it affects everything. And so let's have a look and see what it says in a couple of verses. First of all, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. So God placed all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So God placed all things, everything, under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. He's the brains. He's the brains. We're the body. And we just need that revelation from him, the brain, the thinker. We need that revelation of who he is and what is on his mind, what is in his heart, how he wants us to be, what he wants us to do, so that as the hands, the feet, the lungs, the muscles, the bone, the ears, the eyes, the heart, so that we then express, we then act in relation to Jesus being the head on earth. Because he wants to bring the fullness of who he is into everything. Then Ephesians 2 verse 10, in relation to him being the head and we are his body, it then says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's workmanship is perfect. He does all things well. So just turn to the person next and say, wow, he's done a good job with you. Just look them in the eyes and say, you are God's workmanship. Wow, pretty awesome. Now, you've been created in Christ to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. But we'll do the things that he has prepared for us to do in relation to the revelation, the understanding of who he is. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 16. Look at a few verses in here. And kind of see where we're going to go from there. Verse 13 of Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? Now, that's a really interesting place to ask that question. Caesarea Philippi was a place in Israel that was a place where many people went, and there were, as well as kind of streams and kind of areas like that up there, there were many rocks and kind of mountainous areas where they had caves, and within caves they would set up different idols and different altars, and they would worship false gods, they would worship idols. If you like, it was the multi-faith area at that time, if you can put it that way. And in the midst of that kind of, that place, Caesarea Philippi, where many people worshipped all kinds of stones and woods and all kinds of different things that were set up as altars and idols, Jesus asked the disciples this question, who do the people say that I am? Now, in the middle of that culture, in the middle of that context of multi-faith, worshipping all kinds of different false gods and idols, Peter's reply, or they replied to him, first of all, the disciples, some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah or even one of the prophets. But then Jesus asked them, what about you guys? Who do you say I am? Then Simon Peter answered, you're the Christ, or you're the anointed one, or you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Now, for Peter, who was a Jew, to say that statement was pretty blasphemous. For a Jew to say that a man standing there was the Messiah, was God, he was the anointed one, he was the Son of God, that was like blasphemy. That's just about the worst thing you could say. But what did Jesus say to him? He said, "Blessed are you, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." So in the midst of that culture, in the midst of that multi-faith environment, in the midst of a society that were worshiping all kinds of different gods of wood and stone and all kinds of different things, Peter stands there with this revelation, this illuminated revelation that, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the one. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the one we've been looking for. You're the one we've been believing for. You're standing here right now. You're the Messiah. You're the one. You're the Christ. You're the anointed one. And so he goes against everything that in that moment, in that place, would say that a man standing there is. He said, none of these stones, none of these woods, none of these things these people are purporting to say are gods or are true. None of it's true, because you're the Messiah. You're the one. And Jesus said, on that rock, on that revelation, on that understanding, I'm going to build my church. And then he says, I love this, in that geographical place and what it represented, he said, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, because it was called Hades, that area as well. On the gates of hell, of Hades, will not overcome this revelation. They will not overcome Christ. There's not another God here that's being worshipped, of stone or wood or whatever it is, will never ever overcome Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus being the one. And it's interesting, he said, on that revelation I will build. So he said, that revelation of Jesus being the Christ is the foundational revelation. And Jesus said, I'm going to build on that. I'm going to build my church on that revelation. So firstly, any church must have a revelation that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the chosen one. That he is God. That's the foundational revelation that any church is built on. But then Jesus says, I'm going to build my church on that revelation. Now that's where we come in, because Christ is the head and we are the body. So if he's the architect, if he is the kind of the main builder, if you like, then he's got to have some workmen that are going to build this thing on earth. Because Jesus isn't on earth in physical form anymore like he was. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's interceding for us, the workmen on earth right now, who are his hands and feet, mouthpiece, heart, lungs, whatever, his body on earth, who are going to do the things that he would do if he was here. But we're now here instead of him. We're like little Christ, who are now to do the things that he would do if he was here. He's already given us an example of what he would do, because we've got it in the Bible. So what he's done now is passed the baton on and said, hey guys, now it's your turn. It's your turn now to be the body on earth. I'm the head, so you need to know my mind. You need to know what I'm thinking. You need to know what I'm doing. You need to know the blueprint. You need to know this is the blueprint, the Great Commission. Let's go to all nations. Start in your own city. Start in your own nation. Go to other people groups and to the ends of the earth. There's a lot to do. Let's get cracking. And he's saying to Peter, on that rock, on that revelation that I'm the Christ, I'm going to build my church. Then what does he say? The gates of hell or Hades will not overcome it. But then I love this. He then says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he says, on that revelation of me being the Christ, I'm now going to give you some keys. I'm now going to give you the authority. I'm now going to give you the power to go and release what is in heaven so it can be downloaded on earth. And also what is bound in heaven is also going to be bound on earth. So I give you the keys. I give you the power. I give you the authority so that you can see this victorious life that I'm giving you. You can see this breakthrough life. You can see who I am and what I want to do. You can see that through yourselves, through this thing called the church. God's kingdom building services. That's God's company on earth. It's called the church. It's made up of people like you and me. Different gifts, different skills, different abilities. But we make up this thing called the body of Christ. And this is God's effective tool. This is God's effective weapon This is God's effective vehicle to outwork his heart, his purposes on earth. You and me, we're part of this effective thing called the church. We're not part of the devil's demolition services anymore. We've been saved out of that. And there might be some of you here today, you don't know Jesus. And you're saying, well, does that mean I'm part of the devil's demolition services? Well, if you're not in God's kingdom, I'll tell you, the enemy is against you. He hates your guts. He doesn't want you to connect with God. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with God. Because the devil knows what you receive when you become a Christian. The devil knows what any person receives from God when they give their life to him. The devil knows the danger that a Christian, that a believer is on earth to the devil, if a believer, if a Christian knows and understands who they are in Christ, what it means for God to be in them. The devil understands that because the devil knows what Jesus won on the cross and how the devil was defeated through that work on the cross. And the devil knows that if a believer, if a person on earth understands that victory, believes it and lives in it, then he knows the believer and also the church. If the church believes it and lives it, the devil knows that he's got no chance against the church, that the church are impenetrable, they're immovable, they're unshakable. Because if there's a bunch of people that believe who God is in them, that they go through the fire, they can go through the waters, they can live in freedom, be a people of breakthrough, then the devil knows that he cannot demolish lives, he cannot demolish people, because those people are coming to repossess from the enemy what he has taken over, so that his grip on people's lives is broken and shattered. That's why we are here. That's why God has given us his Holy Spirit, so that we can see that happen in other people's lives. So let's have a look. On that revelation, I'm going to build my church. So what revelation is it? Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15. We're going to look at quite a few verses and just see what is it that he has done. What is it that we have? Because God's called every one of us to be a builder as part of his building company called the church. And everybody has a part to play. You might dig trenches. You might make walls. You might put a roof on. You might fit a kitchen. You might, if you understand what I'm saying, you might be a plumber, an electrician, a carpenter. You might be a driver. You might be, a decorator. It doesn't matter who you are, what your gift and skill is. You make a difference. You're part of this thing, and who you are contributes to the building of this thing called the church on earth. Verse 15. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Now, let's look at what he's praying then. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." I love that prayer. You see, Paul understands that it's not just the revelation of Jesus is the Christ, full stop. That's the foundational truth that we build our lives on. There's no other God like Jesus. He is God. He is the truth. He is the way. He is life. Job done. That's settled. There's no argument. You're convinced. You're convicted. That's why Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah," because he was convinced. You're the one. And Jesus said, brilliant. Now, on that basis, on that rock, on that platform, on that truth, on that revelation, now I'm going to build something. On that, I'm going to build the church. I'm going to build what the kingdom looks like up there on earth through this thing called the church. It's going to be awesome. And so then Paul prays. Paul understands this. He's got this revelation. He's saying, in order to build on that, we need to be a people of wisdom and a people of revelation. So we need to go on having a revelation of Jesus so that we grow in him more and more, so that we know him more and more, because out of that we live, out of that we speak, out of that we think, out of that we act, out of that we pray, out of that we believe, out of that we'll move in authority, out of that we'll move in victory, out of that we'll live in health, out of that we'll live in wholeness, out of that we'll invest in our husbands, our wives, as in singular husbands, singular wives, sorry, not plural. We'll invest in our kids. We'll invest in those around us. Why? Because when you have a revelation of Jesus, you want to know him more. You're growing him more. You want to know him more. You're growing him more. You want to know him more. You grow, and you want to tell others. You want to share it with others. You want other people to know what you've received. And Paul knows this is a revelation that is ongoing. Now, where do we get revelation from? We get revelation from here. We don't just get revelation by the Holy Spirit from Timbuktu. The Holy Spirit will only reveal Jesus and who Jesus is described as being in this book. The Holy Spirit won't give you a revelation that nobody else has ever had before. There are no new revelations. They're all in the Bible. Something might be new to you that the Holy Spirit shows you and reveals from the Word about Jesus, and the light comes on. Why? So that the Holy Spirit says, hey, there's more of Jesus than you've understood. I want to reveal more of who he is, more of his nature, more of his character, more of who he is, so that you live more fully in who you already have on the inside of you. So you have Jesus full now. You never have more of Jesus than you have already, but the Holy Spirit's going to reveal more of what you already have. That's why we want to live in this spirit of wisdom and revelation. So there's a greater revealing of who he is. So then that means we live more effectively, more fruitfully. And then let's flow on with what else he says. I also pray that the eyes of your heart, it's all connected, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Wow. That's why God's kingdom building services or building company is one of hope. We're a people of hope. We're very optimistic. We're a people of hope. You see, hope in the Bible is not something that may happen or I'm hoping might. Hope in the Bible is something definite on its way. I love that, don't you? Hope is something definite on its way. Not it might happen, but it is on its way. That's hope. That's why we live in hope. We live in hope of Jesus coming. We know he's coming. He's not coming today, because there's still some things to be fulfilled according to the Bible. You know, none of us know exactly when he's coming, but we've got to live like he's coming today. But hope in the Bible is we know Jesus is coming. We're looking for that day. It's not, well, he might come one day. I'm not sure. Hope is no, that's it. It's definite. It's on its way. So like if my daughter says to me, Dad, you know, on Saturday I'm going out with my friends, you know, I need my pocket money or whatever. Then I say, yeah, mate, that's fine. I'll give it to you Saturday morning. She knows she's going to get it Saturday morning. Once she believes what I said, but there's a hope in her knowing, right, I haven't got the money now, or I have on one level because my dad said I can have it, but I know I'm going to get it Saturday. It's something definite on its way, so that when I go to town with my friends, I've got money to go to Sugar and Snow, as a little plug, and get an ice cream or whatever. But I may also, that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. See, what is this? He's trying to encourage the Ephesians. Look at what you have. Look at who he is in you. This is the fullness of his life. There's revelation of him, so that your eyes may enlighten, to know the hope that you have, the riches that you have, this amazing inheritance that you have as saints, as believers, the fullness of Christ. What else do you have? This incomparably great power of who he is, this same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power is at work in you. That's who you have. This who he is. This is what you have on the inside. This is what Paul's saying. Hey, guys, this is the revelation of what he's building on this rock, the church, that we're a people of hope, that we're a people of power, that we're a people of destiny. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, that we're a people of strength, that he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. So he's saying this one that this is being built on, he rules over everything.
Yeah, that's it.
There's nobody like him. There's nobody compared to him, nobody that can match him. This is who you've got on the inside of you. He only knows victory. He doesn't know defeat. He doesn't know despair. He doesn't know sort of negative stuff. He only knows the positive. He only knows good. He only knows the best. He only knows abundance. He only knows freedom. And if that's who we have on the inside of us, then that's the kind of church we are. That's the kind of people we are. And if we live in that revelation, then the way we speak, think, act, talk, love, relate, all of that will be totally different. And then he said, and God placed all these things under his feet, and he appointed him to be head over everything for the church. If that's the kind of head we have, what's the body like then? Whoa. So your body is as healthy as your mind. Your body is as healthy as your mind is. If you have a healthy mind, you'll have a healthy body. Now, it might need some exercise, but a healthy mind understands that it needs a healthy body. So a healthy mind is one that activates its body to do some exercise, to be physically healthy, but also a healthy mind says, I need to eat right as well, so that my body is healthy. See, a lethargic mind, a lazy mind, is part of, there's a lazy body. It's all combined, isn't it? And so Jesus is healthy as our head, and he wants a healthy body. He wants a healthy heart. It's interesting, isn't it, that the heart is not in the head, but the heart is in the body. And it's like Jesus saying, I'm the head, I'm the brains, I'm the decision maker, I'm the one that leads you, guides you, helps you to think right, I'm the one that transforms you by the renewing of your mind, but the heart is in the body. And it's like God saying, you're the body of Christ, we're the body of Christ, but the heart's not in the head, the heart is in right in the middle of the body, and the heart's the thing that pumps the life and the blood around the body. And it's like, it's us as the people that carry the heart and the life of who God is to wherever it needs to be released into. Let's just look on a bit further. Ephesians chapter 2. What else is Paul saying to the Ephesians? Look, it's a bit of a reminder here. First of all, he says, look, guys, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You used to live, how you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rule of the kingdom of the air, the spirit of who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us used to live, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, God's wrath. But because of God's great love, because of his amazing mercy, who is rich in love, has made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions or sins. He did something before we were even around to make it possible for us to know him. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show we are in one of those coming ages now. So Paul's talking about ages to come, generations to come. We are living in one of those generations now. So we are the fulfillment of what they were praying then. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So we're living in one of these future ages, because we're in the 21st century. They were in whatever century they were in, the first one. We're in the 21st one. And so it says here, wherever we are, verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So the baton has been passed down through generations to us. And we're now a generation of people that are carrying this baton to express the incomparable riches of God's grace expressed in his kindness through Christ as his body on earth. I think it's pretty awesome, don't you? For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works that you can boast. For we are now, so salvation is a gift, comes freely, but then we've got to do something with it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works prepared in advance for us to do. Question this morning is, for us, if Christ is the head, we're the body. Peter's revelation was, you are the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Messiah. You're the one. You are God. Jesus said, on that rock, on that revelation, I'm going to build. What is he going to build? The church. You and me, we are the church that he is building. It's not a building. It's not an organization. It's not a structure. It's a people, just like you and me. And he calls the church. And the question is, if we live out of the revelation of Jesus that we have, what is the revelation of Jesus that you're living with? What's the revelation of Jesus that you have at this time that is enabling you to live in victory over situations that are around your life at this moment? Jane and I were at a meeting a few weeks ago in Hull, and there was a guy speaking that night, an evangelist kind of guy, lots of signs and wonders happening in the meeting. And just as he was coming to the end of his message, he began to have a few words of knowledge for people in the room, and he began to call different groups of people forward to be prayed for in relation to different sicknesses and illnesses. And he was over kind of that, the left-hand side of the stage, and there was a ground floor of people, and then there was a balcony, a U-shaped balcony coming all the way around. And while he was kind of just asking people to come forward, he said, "Hey, there's somebody up here in the balcony who's got cancer, and you need to come down onto the platform here because I want to pray for you. God's going to heal you today." And this young man came down onto the stage, late teens, early 20s, and this young guy began to say to the preacher, I've got cancer and it started here and it's now down here and they've only given me a month to live. And they said, "Oh, that's it, I've got a month to live." And at that moment, the preacher stood there and he began to shake his head and he began to say, "No, no, 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 no." Now, you know when somebody says, "I've only got 30 days to live," sometimes there's two kind of responses to that. One is, "Wow, okay, well, God, we need something to happen here." You can have that kind of response that is like, "Wow, okay, Jesus, we need you. This is a miracle we need here." Okay, so, and you're looking for faith. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you're not in faith, you're looking for it. "God, I need some faith here. Please, would you, I need something here, God." Or the other one is, you already have won the victory over that. And instead of looking for faith, it's already there. And you're, "No, no, 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 no." Is, "Hey, okay, that's not the diagnosis, mate. No, 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 no. You're about to receive your healing. That's your diagnosis now." There's a difference between the two, yeah? And I was standing over that part of the hall looking at the stage, and when this guy looked at him and he went, "No, no, 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 no." And in straight away in me was like, "That's it, this guy's going to get healed right now." And it was like the preacher guy, it's like he's already got the victory, it's already there. He is living in a place of victory because of his revelation of who Jesus is. He's not just trying to get a revelation now or a bit of faith from somewhere for something to happen and hopefully God will at least give him a few more months. He already had the revelation. No, hang on a minute. No. Are you there? Now, he prayed for him, and the guy, boom, hit the deck, and he then prayed for other people, came back, prayed for him again, and then he prayed for other people, and then he came back, prayed for him again. After the third time, he said to the guy, "How are you doing?" And basically, this guy who was in pain, he had lumps and all sorts of stuff, he felt ill. I mean, the guy had only been given a month to live. Basically, all the pain had gone, all the lumps had gone. And he said, I feel completely different. I feel totally, I mean, I feel alive. I feel, you know, and okay, yes, he needs to go to the doctor or was going to go to the doctor then to get, they only gave him a month to live anyway at that moment. So he was going to be going back anyway because of various appointments and they could verify what had happened in him. But the pain had gone. He felt completely different. The lumps that were there had gone, you know. So at that moment, he was like, "That's it. God's done it. I'm healed." Now, why does Paul pray, spirit of wisdom and revelation? Because he was saying, I want to pray, I'm praying for the church, and if I'm praying for you Ephesians, I'm praying for you guys that you live in a constant unfolding revelation of who Jesus is. Not bit by bit when you need it, but you're living in a constant unfolding revelation of him so that no matter what comes your way, you're ready. No matter what comes your way, you're victory. No matter what comes your way, we've got authority. No matter what comes your way, no, that's not the answer. This is the answer. No matter what comes your way, circumstances aren't going to shift you. They're just going to consolidate. Actually, we're having a breakthrough. No matter what comes against you, you're like, no, that's not the final outcome. This is the final outcome. And it's like the kind of builders that God is building are people of revelation. See, revelation in and of itself doesn't make you active, but what revelation does, it releases faith, and it's faith that causes you to act and to move. Because faith is a verb, it's a doing word, it's an action. When you're in faith, when God has spoken, you believe it, you act upon it. Yeah. When you're not acting upon it, you're still wondering whether it's God or not, and I'm not that convinced yet. But Peter said, there's nowhere else we can go. There's nobody else we can follow because you're the one. You're the man. You're it. You're the Messiah. Where else can we go? There isn't anybody else to go to. All these false gods, we can't follow them because they're not real. But you are. And he was convinced. Now, we know they went through a bit of a moment just before Jesus was crucified. But Jesus sorted them out, didn't he? Filled him with the Holy Spirit, and after that, didn't have an issue. Yeah. Now, he's baptized us with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We have the power and the authority to live in the way we've been talking about. But the question is this morning, we want to give a few minutes just to respond to the Lord, is what's the revelation of Jesus? What's that unfolding revelation of who he is? Do you need a revelation to do some healing? Do you need a revelation so that you've got victory in a situation? Do you need a revelation, something where you know, that's what needs to happen here. That's what God's saying to me there. I've got. Is there something at work going on that's a challenge? Is there a family, a home situation that's not going the way it needs to? Is there something going on in your body, mentally, physically, emotionally, that needs to be... No, I need that revelation so that I've got victory over it. Like that guy in that meeting, he wasn't looking to get something at some point for that moment. He already had the victory. Therefore, the victory then was released into that other young guy's life. So that he wasn't dealing with that sickness, but he was healed. Yeah. So I believe God wants to give that some revelation this morning so you have victory over that sickness. You have victory over that situation at work. So you have victory over that challenge in your household or family. So you have victory where you might need a job so you get a job. We had a testimony in one of the cars, didn't we? There were a few other cars this morning earlier about one or two healings, other provision and various things in the 9:30 service. One of the guys came up to me after between the meetings and said, I've been thanking the Lord for a new job for a while, and my new job starts tomorrow. And it's like, but it was a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, he got victory for his job. And he said, instead of asking God any longer, I kept asking him for a job, And then one day I said, no, God, I don't need to keep asking. I just need to say, right, thank you for my job. And I speak it into being now. The job is mine. Didn't know what the job was, but the job is mine, whatever it is. Then he went for an interview, went for a second one, and he got it, and he's starting tomorrow. That's cool, isn't it? Why? Because he had a bit of revelation one day. I've asked God. He's heard me. Now I just need to thank him and speak it into being. It was like that. And that changed it. And in 3 weeks now he's worked. He hasn't worked for ages. But now he's got a job, and it's good. So there might be a revelation to you. So let's stand together, shall we? And there might be a revelation that you need, something you need victory over, a situation. I know I need something to happen here. If you need that, I want you to stand. I want you to come to the front as quickly as possible and say, right, Father, I need a revelation to do with health in my body. I need a revelation to do with this in my family. I need a revelation, whatever. We had loads of people respond. Just make your way down the front now. And if you know you need a revelation to do with something from God right now, where you need, I need to be in a place of victory, and only God can give you that. When God speaks, he releases faith. Once you receive faith, then the victory is there to happen in your body, in the circumstances, around your life or in your family. So we're saying no to the devil's demolition services this morning, because he's been out to steal, kill and destroy from some of you guys. And it's time to come out of that into a place of life, into a place of freedom, into a place of health, into a place of liberty where you're not living under oppression, you're not living under any depression, you're not living under any words of negativity, but they're shattered, they're broken off, they have no effect, there's nothing over you because there's a breakthrough right now. For some of you, that message last week, going through the fire, you were like, that's what it feels like. Or going through the water, that's what it's felt like. And we're just pushing that right through this week to say these things are not going to persist. These things will not have a hold in any way. Now, Hebrews 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he flees. He has to go. And so firstly, let's just submit ourselves to him. Let's submit ourselves to the lordship of who Jesus is this morning. We could all do this in the room. We can all just submit yourselves to the Lord. Father, I just submit to you right now. I submit to your authority. I submit to your rule and reign in my life. Thank you that you're the head. Thank you that you're the head. You're in charge. You're my Lord. So I just submit my body to you. I submit my mind to you. I submit all these symptoms to you. I submit the circumstances of my life. Whatever is appropriate for you this morning, I submit all these things to you right now. Thank you that sickness will no longer affect my body as it has been. Thank you this situation, my family is going to change in a few moments' time. I thank you that this oppression is going to lift off. Thank you this depression is going to lift off. Thank you that whatever's been going around my life, whatever's been happening in my family or my marriage or my household, whatever it is in the workplace, thank you in a few moments. These things are going to change because of the revelation of what you're saying to me. So, Father, I thank you for the revelation right now. For people as they stand here, thank you for the revelation that you are my healer. You are my health. You are my stronghold. Thank you. You are my victory. You are my life. You are my identity. There might be two or three of you that feel like you're struggling with self-worth and identity. And just that revelation this morning that he has done everything so that you are now, you stand worthy before him. It's not a performance-orientated life with God. You're a child of his. You're a son of God or a daughter of his. That he has done what is possible so that you can stand boldly and confidently before him as a child of his, knowing that you can run to him. His arms are wide open, as it were. That you can run to him because he says, you're mine. You're one of mine. You're one of mine. You're one of mine. You're one of mine. You belong to me. Here's your healing. Here's your freedom. Here's the liberty. Here's the restoration. Here's the job. Here's the provision. Here's the hope. Here's the freedom. Here's the deliverance. Here's the change. Right now in that circumstance, in this situation. Father, we thank you for victory right now in every person's life. We rebuke sickness in the mind, in the body, in the emotions. We rebuke those things right now. And we shatter those things off people's lives. Limbs be healed. Hearts be healed. Lungs be healed. Bones be healed. Muscles be healed. Organs be healed right now. Disorder in the body, go right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Oppression, lift off. Depression, lift off right now. We command situations in family, rebellion, to go right now. Where there's issues between parents and children, children and parents, we take authority right now over the devil's demolishing tactics, and we bind those now, and we break those off of these lives in Jesus' name. We speak harmony into the families and into the relationships right now in Jesus' name. 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 We are not having rebellion. We are not having that kind of atmosphere in our homes and in our households. We are not having that kind of stuff. And we resist every tactic of the enemy to divide, to destroy, and to demolish, and we rebuke every one of those plans right now in Jesus' name. We speak life and freedom into our families, our marriages, our homes, relationships with our parents and with our children, with grandparents. Father, we thank you for harmony in our homes in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for jobs where people need jobs. I thank you that you make a way where there isn't one. If you haven't had a job for a while, maybe you need to say, Father, I thank you for that new job. I thank you that you make a way where there hasn't been one right now. And I speak and declare that job be released right now in Jesus' name. The right salary, the right working hours, in the right place that's going to fit the season that you've called me in at this time, Jesus. I thank you that this new job is going to be a blessing to me, if you're married, to my marriage, if you've got kids, to my whole family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just believe somebody, you've been living with what you keep thinking in your head is a curse over your family, where there's been a generational sickness that has gone through your family, and you've had in the back of your mind going on, it's only time until I might get that thing. Well, that's the devil's demolishing services going on in your head there. And so just take authority over those thoughts. Take authority over those lies right now. That's not a curse. Every curse has been broken in the name of Jesus. Every curse has been dealt with on the cross. Jesus became the curse for us to take every curse on himself on the cross. So every curse was defeated on that cross. And the reason why he raised from the dead is because he defeated everything. It couldn't hold him down any longer. So if that's you in your situation, take authority. I'm not living under that lie any longer. I'm not going to live under a thought of having a curse over my life, because that curse is broken now in the name of Jesus. I'm not living under that. I'm not going to get that sickness that many in my family have had. And so that thing stops right now in Jesus' name. So I speak health over my body. I speak wholeness over my body. I speak long life over my body, over my family, over generations that are going to follow. Long life, long life. Nobody's going to suffer from this moment, from this sickness in my family, because it's cut off in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's the authority we have. That's the God we have. That's the head that we have. That's the life that flows from their head into this body. It is one of health and wholeness. It's one of provision, of goodness, of abundance. It's one of jubilee. It's one of breakthrough. It's one of advancement, because when you're going with God, we're always advancing. Yes, there's challenge. Yes, there can be resistance, but there's only one way, and that is forwards, onwards and upwards. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Just lift your hands. Begin to thank him and praise him. Begin to thank him and praise him. Thank you for change. Thank you for advancement. Thank you for healing. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for things turning around now. Things will be different. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. You're awesome. You're God. You're great. You're mighty. You're wonderful. Father, I thank you. Continue to make us a people of revelation in our own times with you. Holy Spirit, reveal more of Jesus through the Word. Reveal more of Jesus. See, that's where you're going to get a revelation of Jesus, through the Word. Through the Word. You know, as you work, that's why Jesus said true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. You can only worship Jesus in truth. You can only worship who he is. So we want to, when we worship in truth, on your own or together, the words are really important, because they've actually got to be words from the Bible that describe who he is. As we worship him in truth like that, the Holy Spirit will reveal more of who he is in relation to those truths. And you have a greater revelation. Wow, that frees you. Wow, you're like, wow, that's amazing. Jesus, you're awesome. You're incredible. You're mighty. Wow. And you become more convinced about who he is than about any other faith, any other religion, any other theology, thinking system, lifestyle, trend or fashion that's going round. Father, we praise your awesome name. We thank you, Jesus. There might be people here this morning, you don't know Jesus. You've never met him. And this morning you can begin a totally new life with Jesus. That sounds amazing, doesn't it, to say that? You mean a totally new life with Jesus. Simple, just to take a first step to begin a relationship with him. It's recognizing, first of all, that you need him, that you need God. God wants you to be part of his church, the body, his body. He wants you to be part of this. We've used this phrase this morning, God's kingdom building services. Just a bit of a title for today, but he wants to be part of his body. He wants him to know you. He wants you to know him. So you can take a first step today in terms of just responding and giving your life to him. First, you recognize, I need you, Jesus. Second one is, I've done stuff wrong that has kept me separated from you, and I don't want that anymore. And you can be forgiven for all the stuff you've done wrong today. You can be cleansed, cleaned up, sorted out. You can come into this freedom, this hope, this destiny, this purposeful life that he has for you. And then you can ask him into your life, and he'll come willingly, because he's been waiting for this moment where you come home, where you come and meet the Creator, the one who created you, gave you life, and has got a destiny and a purpose for you that will just blow you away. The peace, everything that comes into your life when you know him. Doesn't mean life isn't challenging anymore, but you walk through it in a completely different way, because you have the victorious one in you that enables you to live in a completely different way. Your perspective will change. You'll see people differently. You'll see life differently Wow, it'd be like everything would become colour instead of black and white. You think life's colour at the moment, but actually it's black and white compared to what it's really like when you know God. Everything just changes. And then it's like your life's illuminated and it's like, wow, I didn't realise life could be like this. It's the life that God intends for you. If that's what's going on in you this morning, you're like, man, I want to take a first step to know Jesus, then let's just pray together. Let's just talk to God. Very simply, you can put this in your own words, but just pray what's in your heart. Talk to God. He's here. He can hear you. He wants to know what's in your heart, not just repeating a prayer from by the bloke who stands on the platform at the front. He wants to know you in your heart. But first, you can say something like, God, I thank you that you're real. I know you're here. I can feel you. But God, I want to know you. Forgive me for all the sin, all the stuff that I've done that's kept me separated from you. Jesus, I give you my life today. I ask you to give me your life. Jesus, I want to follow you for the rest of my days. Because that's what it means to be a Christian. It means to follow Jesus. It's not just a decision. It's a lifestyle. Following Jesus. Knowing him. Walking with him. Jesus, I want to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there might be people that have prayed that in some way. Maybe the first time. Maybe somebody, you've been away from God and you're like, I need to come back with God. And you've been like, Jesus, I need to reconnect and follow you in a way you want me to again. If that's anybody here, if you can just raise your hand so I can just see where you are. Is anybody in the room? Thanks, mate. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Father, just pray for this young man and anybody else in here that does. It's taking that first step this morning. Father, I thank you. You would just seal in their life this morning who you are and what you're doing. Thank you that you enable them to live and walk with you for the rest of their days and discover more and more of who you are. Father, I thank you for the victory that's been established in people's lives this morning, both in this service and the 9:30 earlier. Thank you, Father, that we live in that victory today. We can be a blessing to others today. We can see others come into that same life today because we're carrying that life. Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation increasing upon us so that we may know you better, understand the hope to which we're called, the riches of your incredible grace that you lavish upon us, your incomparably great power for us who believe, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Father, I thank you that you enable us to live in the good of who you are more and more and more. I thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give God a great shout of praise and thanks, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name, your mighty name, your great name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.